Hydro Funk, a remix of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 by Woolrock. Folks, you know what that song means. As of 2 weeks ago, yes, you do. Of course, it's time for Seeking Infinity.
Journey 3, Episode 2, Searching for Friends.
Good thing you said the number, because I was totally going to go Journey 2, Episode 3.
It's okay. We're allowed to make blunders.
We are, because if people are listening to this live, you'll catch them, but the others won't.
Don't worry, we'll edit that out, if I remember.
If we need to.
If we need to. Exactly. Well, welcome everybody. I am Mr. Bond.
And I am Tormod.
Welcome to another wonderful episode of Seeking Infinity on this 4th of October, 2013. Tonight's topic, building a team. Of course, something we are currently in the process of doing ourselves for Zero Hour Productions. Yeah. So we figured we might as well cover it now while we're in the thick of things. Let's give you a quick preview of what's coming up. We're going to talk about gathering folks, dividing owners versus contractors, and then we'll have a brief intermission. Go grab yourselves a snack, make a sandwich, popcorn,
and or
soda,
an alcoholic drink.
An alcoholic drink, if you don't already have one. Cheers. After that brief intermission, we'll cover vetting those you have chosen, and then spinning up the support, the logistics, the whatever, to support those folks. So we've got a lot to cover tonight. Let's get right into it. Gathering your people.
Peeps.
Your peeps. Your friends. Your allies. Your enemies, if you like them that much. But probably not. Friends are a good start. I think in our experience, about half of our team is friends of us that we've known prior to actually, you know, starting the thing.
Yeah. Some a lot more than others.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, for instance, I knew Farron because of Midwest Fur Fest, and I guess as a result, Allie, but that was some months later,
in some fashion or another, I guess. Yeah. And then Jeff, who just recently joined us this morning, is a friend of ours from college.
Yes.
So we've got pretty much the whole spread. And I think we'll stop there for a little bit, just until we get settled.
Nod and thumbs up from me. Okay. Yes. At this point, we obviously have our mix of people we've known for a very, very long time. Mr. Bond and myself. What, 7 years now? I've known Jeff for about just as long.
06, so yeah, 7 years.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm like, I was Boris's roommate for a year, so that counts for something.
He was my roommate, like, actual roommate for a year.
Oh, okay, like he actually dormed with you.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't just have room to yourself, I see.
No, no. But then, of course, we were friends all through college, so...
Well, yeah, most of us were. In any case, yeah, we have the whole gamut of people we've known forever and then people we've known for just a few months, and they all have very unique skills. Obviously, in the case of Jeff and others who will be helping us out randomly, we obviously had a good idea of what he was capable of because we obviously went through college with him.
Right.
But obviously, he's had some professional growth since we've really done much, and now he's going to bring more to the table, so that's kind of cool. So, as for the others, the artsy stuff that we're totally not familiar with at all, it's going to be a fun adventure.
I wouldn't say unfamiliar. I'd say unskilled.
I know what looks good. At least to me.
Then you're not unfamiliar with it.
I guess that's true.
I'm going to actually bring in a little bit of my experience with prior projects on this next point.
Cool.
Be careful about moving forward really quickly with people. Mm-hmm. Because you may encounter some people that say, oh yeah, I can do this and this and this. Here's one of my previous works. And you're like, oh, that's really fucking awesome.
Uh-huh.
And indeed, it might be very fucking awesome. But then you don't hear from them the week after, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or months, or whatever, and they never contact you again. So it's like you got all excited, probably rightfully so, but then huge letdown. And this has happened to me like a dozen times. So
you as a modder, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. In my modding days, many, many years ago. It's just like, oh, well, that's disappointing. Now I got to start over. To that same end, avoid vague and open-ended calls. If you're just asking for help, 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 you're going to get a lot of people. Well, if you're lucky, you'll get a lot of people responding to you. Say, hey, yeah, I can help. And then you say, okay, well, I'd like this. And they're like, oh, well, I don't do that. Or you're like, well, I don't want this. Well, that's what I'm good at. Well, thanks. But really, that's your own damn fault for doing such a wide open call.
Yeah. For us, we had to kind of limit things down to we need 2D artists who are capable of at least considering animation, and 3D modelers who are okay with texturing and things like that. I mean, our weaknesses, I guess, the things that we definitely can't do or try to BS.
Right. And it really depends on what your team is at current and then hitting those spots.
Definitely.
Where you don't want to spend the obnoxious amount of time it would take to make something halfway decent.
If it's even possible.
Like art for us.
If it's even possible.
If it's even possible.
I mean, I can make Waffles Revenge, but I need the Windows Pattern Maker for that. So,
yeah.
Pixel art. Woo!
God, I remember doing that. by narrowing your call, you really avoid a lot of energy wasted in dead ends like that. This is also speaking from prior experience on my part, because I can't even count how many days I lost, how many weeks I lost to that stuff. And it's really not just a matter of losing time, but really losing a lot of drive to even keep doing it, because, like, well, nobody else cares about this.
Yeah, considering your ideas keep getting shit canned.
Yeah.
So,
why should I care?
Exactly. And
it's
I've definitely felt that even with this at times. It's just going to happen because you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have people who don't want to do things.
Quite naturally. And especially at such an early point, it's like, oh, shit.
I know.
Shit.
It's more like I just want to put the steel tip boot on and just kick.
Yeah.
Be like, fuck you. I want to do this.
Break some walls.
Exactly. Yeah. Go all Mario on things. Sure. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Sure. We got to get some easily breakable brick things that won't collapse on us.
Or won't cost us money to repair.
True that, but...
But still, let's not put holes in drywall.
I would appreciate not, yeah. Anyway.
Not cool. All right, anything else about gathering folks?
The only thing I really have a recommendation of is, personally, separate the personal side from the business side. Because there's going to be overlap regardless of what you do. And if one part of it doesn't work, the other part of it will naturally start not working. So be very careful about who you choose and how you go about things. If you start feeling like you're having difficulties managing one side of the relationship over the other, have somebody else try to do it for you. That way you can at least try to salvage things or just keep moving forward. That's my advice.
Yeah. At least make one of those sides work, right?
Yep.
And exactly. It's really hard to do. Not even just for business versus personal things, just really subdivisions within your business stuff. If you have like two people doing art and two people doing whatever, if they conflict on things, well, that field is going to take a big dive right away.
Yeah.
And as much as it might seem counterintuitive not to silo people, sometimes that's the best way to go. Or at the very least, have a lead in that area and then have people under the direction of that lead going forward. So you have a decision point, and then hopefully the people under that will support that.
Yeah, we're certainly trying that ourselves.
All right, let's move on to a little bit more specific business side things, dividing owners versus contractors. We're still starting to spin up our business entity.
Yep.
And in doing so, we have to make some hard decisions as to who owns something in the company, like who has a stake in what we're doing versus who's just doing work for us as a contractor. We'll define that straight up. And for us, it's really been kind of simple, actually. We treat pretty much anybody who's with us at the ground floor as owners. Because they have been there from the beginning. They have hopefully a vested interest in the company. And so it would make sense that they would want, you know, a solid legal stake in it. And then anybody else who comes on afterwards, like, you might not feel comfortable letting them have an ownership interest in the company just because
they haven't put as much in as you.
Right. They haven't put as much in. They might not have the time or the energy to put as much in as you'd like. And so it's really a choice of comfort. If the owners you know for sure are comfortable with letting other people in as part owners, by all means, do it. If you're not, and it's really something you need to be comfortable with because it's important shit, at least I think it is, we think it is, then don't do it. I mean, you make this decision early on and follow through on it. Another part of this, and especially dividing owners versus contractors, you have to be dispassionate about it. You're not out to hurt people's feelings, I hope. I'm not out to hurt people's feelings. Maybe others have different ideas, but whatever. But be dispassionate about it. It's not a personal attack to say, well, you're not invested enough to be an owner. No, it's a very practical decision. You're not invested enough to be an owner. You don't have that responsibility, but we still want to work with you. We still want to make sure we're moving forward with the correct direction. Have the owners decide like the big things and have them have that responsibility because they have that investment. They have that drive to do it. Part of that involves assigning responsibility. And you really have to be extra sure about who's doing what, especially when you're setting things up at the beginning. Assigning responsibility and especially getting that responsibility in writing, totally important. That way, if you do run into troubles down the road, knock on wood,
glass
all I've got
everywhere.
Is metal and glass. If something were to happen down the road, then you can point to that legally binding document or agreement or whatever and say, no, this is what we agreed to. Mm-hmm. And if you don't agree to this, if you don't follow through on this, you are in violation, and then we take drastic steps to do whatever to correct it. And you really don't want to get that far, but in case you do, you have that backing to you.
And for us, that's part of the operating agreement, correct?
Yes.
Because we define what our roles are.
For us, well, I guess a little bit of background. We're shooting for an LLC. We're building an LLC. For like something else, like a limited liability partnership, or sole proprietorship, there may be different rules. So yeah, just as the basis of what we're talking about, we're going with LLC rules. Part of that, split significant duties. You will probably have somebody who is a majority business owner or someone who handles the majority of the business operations. And that's fine. But then you should also be splitting off other duties from them so that they can focus on the business stuff if they need to. When they need to. Then split off some of the operational duties to somebody else. So say you have somebody managing the overall company direction. Maybe you should have somebody else managing finances, or maybe you should have somebody else managing personnel. Because if shit goes wrong, as it is wont to do, chances are a lot of shit will go wrong at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then you have only one person handling all that shit going wrong, and it turns into a bad, bad mess.
A bad thing.
A bad thing, trademark. Quote unquote.
Yes.
Part of that, if we step away from owners for a little bit and go down to, say, what we're going to call the contractor level, somebody who's not in, doesn't have ownership of the company, but they're still working for you. You still want to have some sort of legal agreement with them. And usually that comes in the form of an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. It's basically a simplified contract. And really, you make it as complex as you want to make it. But it's important to have that they sign on to, that everybody's agreeing as to what they're responsible for, even if they don't have ownership in the company. This is what you expect out of them. Mm-hmm. And we're still kind of working on that part for ourselves, too, because even as relatively simple as it is from, like, the operating agreement, it still takes some thought to do.
And it's good to have it sooner than later so that even people who are already working with you, fine, they may even have some input on how to craft it themselves as to the provisions that they want. But having something that's set that everybody can agree on for at least the new people coming in the future, really important, especially to have that ground thing. And then possibly have something to negotiate with later if there's somebody who just wants particular things or to switch some things around.
Yeah, that's right. And in our case, we're kind of playing a little fast and loose with that because we're already bringing on contractors without having this agreement ready and in place. Right now, it's pretty much just a verbal, hey, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. This is what we expect. We'll have this in writing soon type of thing.
Yep.
And we think that'll cover us for enough time for us to get the actual NDA in place. God, I just hate saying NDA, but
yeah, I know
it's a necessary evil at this point.
I have to sign some myself for other things, so
it's one of those dirty business things. It's like, I don't want to do this, but I know I have to.
Yeah, there's a lot of that crap.
Yeah, but unfortunate.
That's why I'm saying to myself, it's like as soon as we get everything filed and everything's approved and we get our trademarks and all that other shit, then we can start focusing on not business. So
until problems come up,
of course.
But.
Or tax time.
Happen. Oh, God, tax time. Shut up.
It's only a few months away.
I know. It sucks. Yeah. Whatever.
Won't have much to do this year. Well.
Well.
Not necessarily true.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting time.
Have fun.
Very informative. Yeah. I will have fun with that.
Oh, yeah. We'll probably have a show all about it.
Yeah, probably.
I don't see why not.
As much as we can without, you know, breaking confidentiality with ourselves.
Yes.
All right. Anything else on dividing owners versus contractors?
Nope.
All right. Cool. Let's move on to a brief intermission. Tonight's song, a remix from Chrono Trigger entitled Weaving the Threads of Time by Chris Amaterasu. We'll be right back. Okay, let's move on to our third subtopic of the night, vetting those you choose to evaluate. You've already gone through, you've gathered your folks, you've decided kind of the rough split between owners and contractors. Now it's time to actually take a hard look at what they're capable of doing, what they can bring to you. And like the other, well, like the previous topic, this should not be a personal process. It should be evaluated dispassionately. You're not out to hurt anybody's feelings, unless that's your business, which would be a pretty shitty business. Don't do that. You're out to evaluate what they can do. This can take various forms. For us, it's really looking at previous work. And since these are people we've already known for years, months, whatever, we kind of have a feeling about their general ability already, but we just want to see it in action.
Which is kind of the point when you want them to work for you.
Exactly. I mean, it's all well and good to get friends working with that you get along with, but they don't do shit. Well, maybe they should just be friends.
Sounds right.
And not business partners or contractors.
Essentially, you want to see exactly what they're capable of. And if you're not 100% sure on what responsibilities you want to give them, have them do more things. Have them repeat things. Have them generate content on their own. Give them guidelines. Give them no guidelines. Basically, try to work in examples of how you might be assigning things down the road and see if they're capable of handling that responsibly.
And really, the first communication with that can be pretty telling as to what sort of person they are and what sort of work they'll produce. Because if you talk to them about this and you say, hey, we'll give it a shot, let's do an evaluation first. And they say, oh, okay, all right, well, here's this, this, and this. That shows initiative. They're probably good people. But if they say, well, you have my portfolio, I'm really good, blah, 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 they're arrogant, and you should probably drop them right away, lest you waste too much time.
Sounds about right.
Yes, I've had personal experience with that. So
yeah.
I know how that goes. It's like, all right, see you later.
Sure, Lords.
I mean, of course, you want to be flexible about your timing and your turnaround. Because once you get down to, say, like the contractor level, you understand that you're probably not their primary focus. They probably have day jobs. They probably have other stuff that they need to do, whether personal, family, professional, whatever. So, especially in our case, where we're doing this kind of on the side for ourselves, we wouldn't expect them to be like, all right, 8 hours a day, submit it by this time, go. That's not going to work.
Even for our owners, really.
Yeah, exactly. We have our own jobs to do.
And our own lives and la la la. At least I tell myself that. But
well, yeah.
Honestly, having people respond to very basic requirements for the company, like, here, we need to talk about these things. We expect to have this example of this work done by this time. And it's not necessarily like you're putting a hard set deadline saying, hey, we need this now. And if you don't have it, you're fired, even though we're not paying you. It's mostly a matter of, okay, well, can you actually adhere to deadlines? What are things going to be like down the road when we're really crunching and we have a lot to do and we're actually going forward? Can we trust that you'll do the work that you say you're going to do? That is the big thing. Can we trust you? Can we build this relationship?
And when we have to actually start enforcing deadlines, will it work? Or will you just say, well, fuck you, and leave? A really coarse way to say it, but that's exactly the response I've gotten a couple times. It's like, well, fuck off. I'm like, all right, well, you first. Exactly. And then at that point, it's like, well, I was really depending on this, and now I have to do it myself or find another person, go through all the spin-up, do whatever, and you just wasted a bunch of time.
And potentially money. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I want to make especially clear that's really important, I think, even for, well, even especially for us, is be clear about your expectations as far as compensation goes. For us, we're pretty lucky. Like, our core, we know we're not going to be making millions of dollars, probably for several years. Probably for several years.
I would love millions of dollars, please.
I would love
please.
Millions of dollars, too, but...
Thanks.
You're not
make it happen. developers.
Working yeah, okay. on that. But even it's even more important when you get to the contractor level, because generally at that point you want to be compensating them. You want to be paying them something, so that gives them an extra reason to do good work. Not like, I mean, if you found like the ideal person who would do it just for the sake of doing it, mm-hmm. perfect, blah, 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 I don't need anything else, this is just cool. If you find people like that, my God, you're fucking lucky.
Yeah.
But in all other cases, be clear about the sort of compensation you'll be receiving. We're lucky in that the compensation we can give is, well, here's stuff you can put on your portfolio. Here's stuff you can put on your resume. You worked on this. It was out there. It may not have been super commercially successful, but it's work you've done. Uh-huh. It's work we've done, and it's a success we've had as a team.
If you're going to be putting it out there, you're probably going to be happy with it anyway. Otherwise, you're going to keep working on it and making it look like something that you will eventually be happy about.
So that's a very key part of it is managing expectations. We've talked about compensation. Expectations of communication is good. Like you said before, we can't do hard deadlines just because we can't afford to do hard deadlines. Even ourselves, we can't meet hard deadlines. We can't say, like, tomorrow, the 5th of October at 10 o'clock a.m., I will have a fully fledged engine.
Cool.
Nope. I could not do that. Even if I said that probably 3 months ago, I couldn't do that. And it's just not a valid expectation. It's not a valid deadline to be putting on. Probably something more feasible would be like, okay, in about 2 or 3 months, we'll have a workable engine. It'll be able to do this and this and this. And maybe if we're lucky, if things go pretty well, it'll be able to do this and this. And that'll be it. And I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. That you can work with.
It's a checkpoint.
It is. A milestone.
Yes.
Okay, anything else on vetting people?
Sure don't think so.
Alrighty. On to the last subtopic of tonight, then. Spinning up your services. How are you going to support the people that you've now chosen, classified as owners or contractors, and now vetted? Personally, if I take a look back at what we have for us right now, we have quite a bit.
Yeah.
When you're first spinning these things up just to support your core, you think, okay, well, one thing here, one thing there, one thing there. And a couple weeks later, another thing here. And a couple weeks later, oh, that's not so bad. And then you start bringing on more people. And it's like, oh, shit, we're using like 6 different things already.
Which, if I may go down the list.
Absolutely.
We have Google Apps for our email, which we also use for Calendar. And we also use for Drive.
Mm-hmm. There's 3.
We have an internal wiki.
4.
Which is based on MediaWiki. Same thing that runs Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
We are using Trello.
5.
And... what else are we using?
We have a main site.
Well, yeah, 6. I suppose. It's our avenue for our blog.
Right.
So, okay.
We have Skype, usually.
True.
So that's,
I'm looking at all my tabs, and I'm like, what else do I keep open all the time?
6.5.
And obviously we have visits, and we have phone conversations, so if you really want to go down that route. But
and we maintain our own social accounts that we use for company stuff as well.
So oh, yeah, 7. So I guess Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Google Plus, if you want to count that. So 7, 7.5, somewhere
sure.
around there. But that's just what we've built up over the past 3 or 4 months.
That's a lot.
So if you think about when this starts going longer term, obviously we don't want to overlap on services. We don't want to have 2 document management systems. That would be stupid. We don't want to have 2 task management systems. That would be stupid. But there's no reason to believe that we'll stop at that number of services.
Maybe or we won't switch to something better.
Right. Maybe we'll find something cool that allows us to post real good media stuff, like real good audio or real good video. We might start using YouTube for stuff.
And
there's another one.
A replacement for Google Drive. Because it's rather infuriating.
The organization is pretty bad, isn't it?
It's terrible.
I mean,
you can put shared folders inside of your own folders, which I really should go do.
Right.
Like, that will help.
That's what I've been doing, too. Because, I mean, the shared with me big list of crap, that's not good.
Google, fix it. Sorry.
Maybe that's just a problem with, like, the starter business version or whatever that we have.
Nah.
But I'm not really keen on spending more money on it, so we'll have to soldier on.
Yeah, Google. Maybe if it didn't suck so much, we'd spend money. Shakes fist.
Maybe.
Ugh.
No
anyway.
Guarantees.
Yeah, precisely. But I mean, we're always going to be on the search for the best ways to collaborate and to share our media with other people. Twitter has taken off tons, and we're having conversations with people there. I mean, obviously in the community and even outside of it, that are very fruitful. Going out to these conventions, like we were at Penny Arcade Expo. We went to Dev and Prime this year. We had our business cards. We met all of these indie devs. I mean, just, it's not all electronic stuff. I mean, we have to interface in person with people too to share a message. And a lot of the stuff that we were getting for feedback was because we had to come up with a description of what's in progress right now on the fly. And we have something obviously now that we can use as a public press version, but being able to actually talk about things within your team and outside of the team, obviously you're going to have to filter your information, that's going to be a thing, and it's going to generate interest. And if you can generate external interest, you should obviously be able to generate internal interest. And having all of that go together, you need to be able to have people contribute, you need to be able to have voice, etc. So providing all of these different avenues for people to do that, like next year, I really hope that most of us can go to PAX and be like, this is a company thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a medium for us to share what we've been doing with the outside world, even if we don't have anything to present, which I really hope that we would have something by then, maybe. I don't know.
Even if we're not like part of an official showing, like the Indie Mega Booth or something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that'd be great next year if we could get even just a small setting in the mini booth. That would be
Yeah, and
it'd
be like,
amazing.
Here, this is what we're doing. Here, have business cards and buttons and taffy
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, here's a like a pre-alpha build that we have. Here's some video. Here's some screenshots. Here's all of this stuff that we've been working on. Even if we're not part of that, just being there, like being able to walk through the booth and say, well, I'm here as part of this. There's my associate over there who is also with me. There's another one of my associates. We're here as kind of a company thing. And they're like, oh, well, that's cool. You guys are awesome.
And that's pretty really much how boost. It goes.
Yeah. That's how it went this past year.
Like, exactly.
Cool. People respect you a lot more when you're like a part of something like that. If they're, I mean, granted, indies are friendly people anyways, but they're even friendlier to their own.
It would not have been as successful if we didn't have at least something we could show people and be like, hey, we're not just these random off the street bums with a name that totally isn't trademarked or we don't have a company or anything yet. I know. But, I mean, we had the business cards this year. We had a website. We had our blog. We had Seeking Infinity going into this. We had content. We just didn't necessarily have content that people would really use outside of listening.
Right.
Obviously, in order to achieve all of these things, we had to have some sort of organization, which we did for the longest time. We had the blog. We had internal meetings. We had email. We had everything else. I mean, without any of these tools or even some of them, it would be a lot more difficult to actually achieve these goals. You're going to have to determine, one, obviously we have our suggestions that we gave. If they're great, fantastic. If you want other things, good. If you have other suggestions, by all means, share them. But the point of the matter is you're going to need to find solutions for whatever kind of collaboration you need to do or content hosting or whatever it is that fits your team. For us, this is still largely a learning process because some of us have an easier time with one particular way of doing things. Others want it a different way, and we're going to have to find a common ground or find something that integrates the both and things like that. I mean, you're not stuck with one thing forever, especially with most of these services being free. Consider that.
Yeah, they'll work up to a point. A key idea is that everybody has to buy into it.
Of course.
And for those people that don't, you have a couple options. You can find something else that works for everybody,
mm-hmm.
or you can mandate it regardless of what they think. And at sometimes you have to do that.
Yep.
If your core team uses this thing, this one thing, and you bring on somebody that says, I don't want to use that, you're not going to change your core to suit them
right.
as much as you'd like to be that flexible. No, that's just not a feasible option. So you say, well, we use this, or we probably can't work together. Oh, well, better luck next time. But being able to centralize and integrate all those things, key for communication, even as much as, or maybe even more so, key for getting work done.
And it's also nice for project managers, me, so that I can actually see what's being done. Trello, we can actually see things moving across the board into not started, working on it, completed, so on and so forth. But with the wiki or with Google Drive, I mean, it's so easy to see changes and to be actually be able to see things changing, watching your content come out there. And people being accountable for the things that they say they're going to be doing. Because it's one thing to have it on Trello, but it's another to actually move it and or produce the content and everything else. People have to use the things, they have to be held accountable, and hopefully the tools will be a vehicle for that.
That's what they're meant to do, as tools. Part of that, well, actually most of that involves asynchronous communication. I mean, we all like getting together and talking face-to-face, which, given our team makeup, isn't feasible. We can't do face-to-face communication between all of us.
Right.
Unless we somehow come into some really awesome amount of money and can set up a central office somewhere.
Yeah.
Before that happens, someday it might happen. We have to rely on very asynchronous methods. Email, forums, wiki stuff is by nature asynchronous.
Right.
Trello, asynchronous. And what we mean by that is that not everybody's looking at it all at the same time.
Right.
And, I mean, sometimes you'll have two or three people overlap, but you need to track it still. And as much as you may not like asynchronous communication, I'm not a big fan of it, but it's one of those necessary evils. Like, you have to communicate somehow, and if you're going to rely on just real-time communications, you're not going to get anywhere, and you're not going to get anything done. Well, you're the music composition dude, right? Is there, like, a music collaboration thing that stands out to you that you've used in the past or you know of or something like that?
Not really. Honestly, some of the things that I used in separate groups honestly just revolved around Dropbox.
Oh.
It's like just post works in progress. Okay. Having meetings on IRC. Okay. Which is obviously synchronous.
So pretty generic stuff just used in context of what you're doing.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, like, you can post stems if you really want to, or if you're working in a common program, you can post whatever the format is, but the most involved it might be is to have a Git repo if you really, really want to. That way you can track your changes between your edits of your song.
Between binary files.
Exactly.
Which isn't necessarily all that useful, but
so
it's
just versioning at that point. You can't really go and be like, oh, this is what's different. I mean, it'd be kind of cool if they made a composition program where you can be like, oh, this is the actual musical diff between these two versions of the composition. That'd be kind of neat.
Then export to an easily diffable format like XML.
Actually, Music XML does exist.
Does it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which, I don't know if most programs use it, but I know Finale can export and import with Music XML. But, like, even MIDI, it can't be that weird. It's a container format,
right.
Sort of. So
it's mostly standardized too, so
I would imagine you'd be able to diff it back and forth, and if you had a program that would actually be able to read the data, you might be able to display the differences, so who knows. But I mean, there isn't really a whole lot of specialized software, at least for that. I wouldn't imagine that there would be much different for any visual art stuff either.
Probably not. I mean, there's plenty of online collaborative tools where you draw stuff
together,
like, together, but it's not really like professional grade.
I'm
going to draw on this UV map and watch it appear on the model type thing. I think really for like coding stuff, that's where we get a lot of extra boost. Source code is by nature text and very easy to diff. And there's even some concurrent source editors out there that you can do stuff with.
Yep. And
so
obviously with the wiki, we have our, I guess, story content or whatever you might want to call it. We can look at the changes page. We can refer changes. We can do things easily that way. Especially with any like lengthy story things, if we do decide to provide a written prologue, epilogue, whatever you might want to say, to the games, it's easy to see the differences. I mean, there's stuff built in to Google Drive, to other places like that, where you can mark differences easily. Unfortunately, music and things that are not text-based, I'm just going to go down that route.
Yeah,
you can't
pretty
accurate. You can't really do that stuff yet. If they had tools like that, they'd probably be cool. Not necessarily practical, but I mean, a lot of the stuff is, okay, well, you have the music done, let's mix it slightly differently, let's change the placement of the instruments, let's make it wet versus dry, or whatever the case is, mic it differently. I mean, there's just going to be so many different things that you can do that's going to make it sound, that's going to produce different data. You would have these two very different files and you'd say, holy crap, these are really different, but I mean, listening to them,
they might not be
they would be
different.
Quite similar. It's just a difference in perception usually, so it's not very easy to do it there.
Sounds like there's a good niche for that sort of thing though, if somebody can do it effectively.
I was gonna say I would not even know where to begin. Unless if you really relied on MIDI and Music XML, which is very much here, these are specific instructions in a file that tell an instrument how to produce sounds. That's one thing. But if you're trying to use samples and things like that, you're in a completely different game.
I mean, even if you could break it down to a certain number of discrete parameters,
yeah,
you probably reach the limit of what you can parse easily as a human for diffs.
Yeah.
Well, something to keep an eye out for, I suppose, because something we could get something like that, and if we ever have a need for, you know, two composers or two visual artists working that deeply together,
yeah,
when we can't do face-to-face stuff, that might be something to invest in.
Sure. I mean, a lot of our stuff was like, oh, hey, I worked on these measures. Tell me if these dissonances sound too terrible. Okay. Done. Here, check out this chimbasso. Oh, great. It's very bassy.
Well, we're running to the end of this evening for Journey 3, Episode 2. We talked a lot about team building and some other stuff kind of tangentially related, but still related. In 2 weeks, we'll have Journey 3, Episode 3. We have yet to decide on a topic for that one, but as soon as we know, you'll know.
Via our website, which is zerohour-productions.net.
Which, if you're listening to this, you probably already know. But, you know, just in case. Just in case you missed that memo. All right, everybody, we are going to kick it off then with our normal signature closing track, a remix from Secret of Evermore entitled A Whisper in a Shadow by Darksword. Good night, everybody.
Ciao.